Testing. Blah, 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 blah. Ready, set, go.
It's time for the Coach Amy and Coach Liz Show,
a podcast for endurance athletes by two athletes, two coaches, and a physical therapist.
We are your hosts, Coach Amy
and Coach Liz,
coming to you from
Kansas City.
Another episode of the Coach Amy Coach Liz Show. Liz, let's tell everyone what you were telling me about your doggy.
Oh, I'm doing laser therapy on my dog. I don't know if it's the same thing that you do in your clinic, but you said you have a vet setting on your laser.
There's a veterinary setting because they've been using it on racehorses and animals for longer than they've been doing it on humans. At least it became more mainstream for animals before humans. But humans are animals too, right?
Oh boy.
Okay, that's a whole. So, question.
Yeah.
What area of the body are they doing? What's the injury?
Oh, my little peanut. So I have a little small dog, and her. So we're waiting on a chiropractic evaluation for sure, but her spine is like moving. Like when she moves, I can feel her like spine is like not. It's. I don't know if it's not connected. I don't know what is going on there, but it's so really
like,
bad.
Like there's a lot of mobility in it. You're saying
there's a lot of mobility in it. Like every time she moves, it's like click 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 click. Like it's like moving. Like something is wrong with her spine.
And how old is she?
She's 13. It's very sad. But they said that the muscles like around the spine, her back, she's always had back issues, and I can feel it like up into her neck, and she's only 9 pounds, so she's very wee. And so they're doing the laser like all along her spine to try to like loosen the muscles. And I do feel like she comes back and she seems like she's in much less discomfort after she's had a little, I mean, it takes 5 minutes. They're in and out.
Yeah. Do you ever do massage on her?
I do, yeah. She's very sensitive with it, but I definitely, yes. I've done that for a long time because
her
back...
You're not pushing as hard as you do on people on a 9-pound dog.
9-pound dog. She's like, ah.
She'd be like ironed out.
Oh my God.
She'd be like skin.
I know. Oh, little peanut. I've done massage on her for a long time because she's had a lot of back problems and like her paw will pop out of place and her little back will seize up. I mean, she just has a little cattywampus skeletal system, I think.
I know some people at Blue Pearl who work with the animals. And so Blue Pearl's like a specialty vet here in the area, and they have like emergency room stuff, and they have specialty eye people over there, eye doctors over there, and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, they have physical therapy over there, and I know one of the physical therapy assistants that works with the animals, and we were talking the other day, and she was like, you know, you could do this with Levi. And I was working like active release and stuff. And she's like, you could do this with Levi. And I was like, what? It never dawned on me. And then, so then I started working with him. And at first he was like, what are you doing? You know? And then you could tell his eyes kind of rolled back in his head like, oh my God, this is great.
I know. it's so great.
I used to just like, you know, just like pet him or scratch him, you know? And then I was like, oh, we can actually do massage with him.
Yes, and they love it. That's a whole thing. You know what? If I am not a ballet Russian spy in my next life, my second backup choice is to be a post-operative dog PT.
Oh my God, that would be awesome. You know, they do little underwater.
Yes,
not,
they do.
They do wet water treadmill. It's not underwater. Their faces aren't, but it's water therapy. They do all kinds of stuff. And, you know, there's physical therapists who work with, you know, like the horses and the large animals too.
Yeah.
Like that would really be cool. Yeah. Ooh, okay. Next lives.
Yes.
We'll have multiple.
My midnight sure library. I'm stacking them up, baby.
Okay, so what are we talking about today? Our last episode was about cardio versus muscle fitness in terms of triathlon and the transition, like different sports between running, swimming, and biking. And I wanted to talk about, and we've talked about this, you know, in past episodes, we've weaved it in and out, but I thought it would be worth doing a separate episode for it to drive the topic home, because there's a... when you start running or return to running after a long break, if you've been a runner before, the cardiovascular system has to develop, like we talked about in the last episode. But what people do not realize is that will develop quicker than the musculoskeletal system. So if there's been a break or a long time, or you're brand new to running, it takes a while to develop the muscles and tendons. It can take a couple of years.
That's so interesting.
I know. And when you think about that, And it doesn't mean it takes a couple of years for you to be able to run a mile.
Right.
Not anything like that. That's not the case. But you have to very gradually bring in that sport. And what happens in our society, I guess, or there's this push to, I did a couch to 5K. So in the spring and now in the fall, I'm going to do a half marathon. And then at the beginning of the very next year, I'm going to do a marathon. And, you know, it's too much. The muscles and tendons have not had an opportunity to become durable enough. And so what we end up with is injuries, a lot of injuries. And this is one of the number one reasons why we have so many running injuries is people doing too much too soon, because the cardio system is like, yeah, I can do this. I can go another couple miles and another couple miles and another couple miles. And the muscles and tendons are saying, hold on, wait a second. And there's not this immediate injury to tell you to stop. So you keep going and you keep doing it. And then even though the injury is happening, it's happening slowly, kind of in the background. And then you're like, I don't understand. Why does my hip hurt, or why does my knee hurt, or whatever? So one big thing is to always take your time with progressing your mileage with running. And this is not just the case with new runners. It can be people who've taken some time off. It could be like you took 6 months or a year off, or you're coming back from another injury, right? Or coming back from something. So, and then I think the other thing is the importance of strengthening aside from running. So running does not make you strong in the legs or the core or in the shoulders, but you have to be strong to do the sport. And you don't want to just be strong in what we call the sagittal plank, running forwards. You know, you want to be strong all the way around. You want to think of your body as like the 360 degrees, and then it moves in all directions. Because even though you are not running a marathon going sideways or backwards or rotating around in circles, you're still using muscles that move in those directions to stabilize. And we've talked about this in the past, how strong the core needs to be to stabilize the pelvis so that your push off is efficient and powerful and doesn't cause injury over and over and over again. So to develop that strength, it's not going to come when you run. So I used to think, once a week strength training will be enough. I don't subscribe for that anymore. I think at least 2, if not 3 times a week. And that doesn't mean 2.5 hours of strength training
right,
in the gym.
Right,
okay.
Right.
It's during the off season, it's spending really good quality time. Mm-hmm. And then during the on season, we're not just dropping it off. And we'll talk a little bit about the differences with triathlon because it's very, very challenging. Mm-hmm. But I would rather see somebody, and I think there's a lot of benefit to doing it more frequently for shorter periods of time. And it's not like arm day, core day, leg day. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying separate it all out. Have good quality sports-specific strengthening that you're doing, and you're peppering it in through your week. And people think, well, I can't strength train on the day that I'm doing intervals. I can't strength day on the day that I'm doing a long run, or the day after a long run, or the day before. That's not true. We are not doing an hour and a half in the gym of the heaviest weights we can possibly do. We're not tearing ourselves up. We're building ourselves up. Now, if you do, let's say you have a Saturday long run and you do some strength training on the Friday before. This is where I get a lot of questions. You might show up at that run with a little bit of delayed onset muscle soreness, okay? And that is acceptable. Don't think, oh my God, I'm sore, I shouldn't be doing this. Now, if as you get going, things start to fall apart, you start to hurt, the areas that were delayed onset muscle soreness don't kind of warm up, they're constantly barking at you at a high level and getting worse as you go, then you know, okay, maybe I did a little too much on Friday before that Saturday. And so we need to get creative and work with your coach and see, okay, well, what kinds of things did you do too much? Did you do too much weight? Should we have just done core that day? Maybe not legs that day, and work it out what works for you. But it should be possible to do these things. And then the other place that I like to throw in the workouts is within a run. So I think we've talked about this before, but I love a track workout where you're doing, maybe you have, let's say you have 400s or 800 meter repeats. And then you'll do your repeat, and then you will do a strength workout. And it's not, again, it's not 30 minutes of it. It's maybe 5 or 6 minutes of some really good quality stuff. And then we're off and running again. And that is very, very good. So anyway, I have changed how I personally train and how I train others based on what I've seen over the years. And it's circumstantial from what I see, right? But there's evidence to back it up in research, how important it is. But I see those runners are stronger and healthier, and I see less injury in those runners. And they're still still performing at a high level. You know, it's not like, yeah. So, but you mentioned something, and even when I was triathlon training, it's like, oh my God, you might have 2 workouts a day, but you've got to swim and a run or a run and a bike, and you can't imagine throwing it, especially in the height of your training. And that's where I would say, pick 2 or 3 things that you're doing every day, and it's not killing you to do it, you know? And it could be arm, it could be legs, it could be core.
I think people underestimate how well you can maintain the strength that you've built by just engaging. Like you can do a few things. Doing maintenance work for strength training is really effective, and it doesn't need to be a lot, and it doesn't need to compromise your training. You know, when you're in the middle of your season and it's, you know, for triathlon, you can effectively maintain that strength without doing a ton.
Yeah. Yeah, you get a lot more. You think, oh well, let's just say, for example, that you did a series of, you know, 3 sets of 15 squats, a little bit of a lunge matrix, and maybe a little bit of core work, and it took you 15 minutes, 15-20 minutes. That is acceptable, and it's not going to break you down. And even if you only did some heavy squats. Yeah. You know, I mean, you think, well, I only did a little bit. It's not worth it. It didn't do anything. It absolutely 100% does.
It helps maintain. And you really don't have to do very much. It's sort of like touching those muscles and keeping them where they are. Like you're just trying to keep them where they are, you know?
Yes. Especially those stability muscles. And I think when you think, well, I'm not, you know, I need to lay there and do skull crushers or, you know, like a tricep things on my back. Those are great. That is great exercise. But it isn't really sport specific. So it's being really mindful and picking the really sport specific ones because, and I mentioned squats here, but maybe not the best example, right? Like a plank with a row pull with a band for a swimmer, for example. We are getting a lot out of that workout. And, you know, last night I was teaching class, and when I teach classes, I'll sometimes bark out like, oh, you guys just worked blah, 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 blah muscles. And everyone was laughing last night because I named off like 8 things we had done in just 10 reps of one exercise because it was a complex move and these people were ready for it. They had built themselves up to that. And they were like laughing. And I said, what are you laughing at? And they're like, that's a lot of muscles. I'm like, yeah, you know, because it was a quality move that incorporated a lot of things. So in that 10 reps, and of course it was a whole class, but they did a lot. It didn't take very much time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay. So anything else? Did you have anything to add to that?
I don't think so.
Okay, you guys. So honor the strength and honor that you don't progress too quickly and expect and demand too much out of your musculoskeletal system before it's ready.
Yeah. Thanks so much for listening. And remember,
we are in this together.
Until next time.